We've been journeying through 1 John, and today we want to talk a little bit about purpose. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. Originally, I was going to try to take us all the way through 15 to 17, but there was so much in there. We'll pause just with these few verses. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, and I'll go ahead and read the first. You can follow along on your screens or from where you're sitting in your own Bibles. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is God's word. As we have taken a journey for a few weeks through 1 John, we have shared with all of us that, and I shared this last week as well, just to put a context, and for those that are joining us more recently, one of the final letters written in what we call the canon, or the scriptures that we have today, the Bible, probably written between 85 to 95, one of the final letters of the final last apostle in the final portions of the Bible. And so this is very significant as he reflects on his lifelong journey of following Jesus, but also as he pours out his heart for care and concern for the church, for all the churches, but in particular for the church of his time. And he really wants to provide some words of assurance in the midst of the many challenges that they are going through in their generation. And in particular, the challenges from different preachers and teachers that are really teaching a false gospel, an unbiblical gospel, and that is having all sorts of detrimental effects upon churches of his time. And so as he pours out his heart, we would do well to open our hearts, to lend an ear, and to hear what he has to say. And from these first few verses of this passage for today, I want us to really think about purpose. First of all, we cannot live without purpose. We can't live without a purpose in our lives. And so often, even the very fact that you and I are here, we made it to church, some by the skin of our teeth. We're happy to be together, and I applaud you, I cheer you on, it's great. And often, life is lived in this rapid, crazy pace, often running from one set of crisis to another. And then the years tick by, and often, especially on a topic like this about purpose, we often forget what really is our purpose in life. And that is a question that I believe John is speaking to the church of his time and us today as well. I came across an account of prisoners during World War II in a Nazi concentration camp in Hungary, working in a factory that processed human sewage, of all things. And when the Allies bombed the factory, the POWs had nothing to do. So the guards made the POWs take the rubble of the factory to the field, stone by stone. And they did this over and over and over again, just to keep them busy. No real meaning, no real purpose, and the prisoners began to lose their minds quite literally and go crazy. No meaning, no purpose. They began to throw themselves in front of the guards to be shot or wanted to take their own lives because death surely was more preferable than a life without purpose. It was Isaac Asimov that said, "As far as I can see, there is no purpose to life." A brilliant mind like Asimov, could you imagine, concluding as he ponders the mysteries of the universe and through the lens of science and his own understanding, "As far as I can see, there is no purpose to life." If it is true that we are nothing more than random molecules here by accident, then Asimov's statement is indeed correct. If everything is by chance, there is no ultimate purpose for our lives, then in fact, he is correct. We can't have our cake and eat it too. We can say that surely there could be a God that created all this, but at the same time, to live without meaning or purpose is an impossibility as human beings. And as we begin to explore and dive into our passage, we begin to understand, as John is trying to communicate, that rather the Bible has a much more plausible, much more rational understanding of who we are and our purpose in life. That we, each and every one of us, are not here by chance or an accident, no matter the circumstances of your birth, your childhood, or your adulthood. But we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and that imbues into us a purpose and a meaning that is critical for our lives. What is your purpose as we gather here this morning? And so often as we follow the leadings of our cultural voices, we almost always try to answer this question by looking at ourselves and looking within first. And the Bible has a very different perspective in trying to communicate an answer to this question. The search for purpose cannot and does not begin with ourselves. We cannot just look within to find a greater purpose. And often the world has that time where we reflect, we look deeply inward to find the answer to that question. What is your purpose of your life? What are you truly living for? But it doesn't begin by looking within. Purpose doesn't come out of what we do or our achievements. In the busyness of our lives and accomplishing all that we set our hearts to do, as good as those things are, does that truly provide us ultimate meaning and purpose in our lives? What happens when you become incapacitated and can no longer work and be a builder? What happens because of a health issue that you no longer can be productive, or an accident, or challenging circumstances in your life? Is your work your purpose? What happens when you get ungloriously fired from your job and let go? Then do you lose your meaning and purpose? And so many of us do, if we're honest with ourselves. What happens when you no longer are working and you're retired? What then is your purpose? And so these are questions that all of us have to wrestle with, whether we're young kids, students, young adults, older adults in our lives. I believe that it is very healthy to take our compass of our lives and reorient it once again to this very important question. What drives you? What is your purpose? What gives meaning to you in your life? I believe what John is trying to do in the midst of all sorts of challenges that the church of his time is going through, He reminds them that meaning and purpose is what propels us forward, keeps us going. It is critical in our lives and for the church and for our families. And he answers this by what he does in the verses that we read. And secondly, our purpose flows out of our identity. Our purpose flows out of our identity. As we look at the Bible and we begin to think about our relationship to trying to understand this question of what is my purpose, it really flows out of the question, who are you? And even more importantly, whose are you? And so verses 12 to 14, when I first came across this, didn't really understand what John was trying to do here. But as he addresses this and different Bible scholars and theologians interpret these verses a little bit differently, some say it's literal sons and fathers and children. Other highly regarded teachers that many of you will probably follow say, no, it's a spiritual understanding, older men in faith, babes in the faith. And so I take it a little more as it is literal in terms of he's addressing different generations, physical generations in the church. But as you begin to look at this passage through the lens of the question of purpose, and we just said that our purpose flows out of our identity, let me show you what this looks like as we take the phrases, the reasons, the because phrases. And he says this, I'm writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his namesake. I'm writing to you little children because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you little children because you have overcome the evil one, because you know the Father, because you know him who is from the beginning, because you are strong. And you have overcome the evil one. Would the church look at this passage and say, this would be so great if it could be true, but I have so many struggles in my life. I wish this is who I really am, but I struggle with myself, with sin, with temptations. I wish I could say I'm an overcomer, but I fail over and over again. And you look at that and John says, no, this is who you are because of Jesus. This is who you are because of what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to fall into being an imposter, falling into imposter syndrome. This is who you are because of Jesus. You have overcome. You are strong. You have overcome the evil one because of Jesus. John is trying to remind them, this is who you really are. Yes, we sometimes miss the mark. Yes, sometimes we struggle. We disappoint ourselves. We disappoint God. We disappoint our loved ones. And yet, because of Jesus, this is who you are. This is your identity. Even if your life doesn't always reflect that, if you are in Christ, this is who you are. And over again, the question of meaning and purpose is connected to identity. Think about, and some of you are journeying with us, reading through the Bible in 1 year, and we come across the story of Israel in the Old Testament, and you almost just want to pull out your hair because how long will they not get it? How long will they continue to chase after false gods and keep on blowing it over and over again? And over again, how does God respond? This is fascinating. Deuteronomy 7:6. You are a holy people, people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the people who are on the face of the earth, Even when they have blown it, even when they chase after false gods, when they don't obey, they doubt, they literally put their fist in the air against God at times, and yet over and over, and yes, sometimes they suffer the consequences of the sin for sure, but over and over again, when God communicates to them, he reminds them, but this is who you are. This is your true identity. You are my treasured possession. You are rescued and redeemed by grace. Live a life of meaning and purpose in light of who you are. Exodus 19:6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. But Lord, we've messed up. We keep on going our own way. And over again, God's word returns through his prophets, his servants, and reminds them, no, you are a holy people. You are a kingdom of priests. You are a holy nation. I have chosen you to display my work of grace and love for you and through you, all the nations of the world. What does that do to the Israelites? When they are reminded of their identity and calling and consequently their purpose, especially when they veer to the left and right, it once again recalibrates their direction and their GPS to go in the right direction. We have forgotten who we are. If this is who we are, we should not be living like this. We should live like this. Purpose flows out of identity. And we see this over and over again in Scripture. And even when we know that we're not living as we should, because of God's grace, because of Jesus, he looks at us and says, you are my treasured ones. You are the ones that I love, and I've sent my own son to give his life for you. This is how much I love you. This is who you are. Don't forget it. God has chosen to work in your life. He has called you. He has gifted you. He has rescued you. He has redeemed you. He has empowered you. We find our purpose out of our identity. And that begins to sum up what we're trying to land in application. Live out your purpose in light of your identity. How could we not talk about Rick Warren, right? And he says this, you cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God, your creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. Many of us have made that decision to embrace this truth, but I tell you, because of our spiritual amnesia, and we're so good at getting lost in our lives, we need to once again be reminded of who we are in Jesus daily in our lives. And so isn't it fascinating? As the Apostle Peter looks now, and not just the Jews, but as he looks at the diversity of God's kingdom and people who are both Jew and Gentile, he reminds us, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. what once was true for just one race of people has been poured out to you and I and to all the nations of the world as we embrace Jesus and follow him in this new calling, in this new identity, and this new purpose. You see, growing up as an Asian American in a predominantly Jewish suburb of Chicago as this young Korean kid, and I've shared this before, I pestered my parents for years, when is my bar mitzvah? All my friends are Jewish, when is my bar mitzvah? Son, what is a bar mitzvah? They asked. I grew very culturally a little bit confused in that sense, and as our neighborhood finally began to get more and more diverse, there were a lot of questions about ethnicity and who am I and identity that I'm sure all of us have wrestled with at some point in time, but especially as a child of immigrants, it is a real question when people around you don't look like you and you begin to ask those questions of identity, which connects once again to purpose and meaning and the future and all those things. And it was as a young teenager finally understanding how much God loved me in Jesus and committing my life to him that question was really anchored and answered, that first and foremost before my Korean-ness, my Korean-Americanness, living in a diverse community with all my Jewish friends, I realized and came to know that first I am a child of God, saved by grace, and I've been called to serve him. And knowing that truth from my young teen years grounded me with a sense of security that then I realized that is my foundational primary identity. I am a child of God, and I've been called to serve him in his kingdom, who happens just to be a Korean American. And that helped me so much in the ensuing years and decades when I understood that my primary identity was a child of God called to serve him. Identity is critically important. Our culture and the world tells us that it is our gender, it is your race or your color, it is your socioeconomic status, it is how much influence you have, it is your political stance that determines your significance, your identity, and your purpose. No, the Bible says very differently that it is knowing who you are in God first, in which you find your true identity, by which your purpose, calling, and meaning is discovered. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There we have our God-given purpose that flows out of this wonderful new identity that is available to you and I because of God's grace found in Jesus. And so, this is what John is reminding his beloved brothers and sisters in the church, fighting for the faith, going through all sorts of trial and heartache and wounds in their life. The culture is against them. They often are against each other. There are false teachers. And he goes back and he says, don't forget who you are. You have been forgiven. In Jesus, you have overcome the evil one in your life. You know the Father and you find strength in him and in God's word. And because Jesus has already done this for us, it is indeed finished. Live your life out of the overflow of your identity in Christ. And so he reminds them of this as he prepares to challenge them in verses 15 to 17 to not love the world or anything of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we can go on, and I'm going to pause here because that would be another 40 minutes. And so in a few weeks we'll pick up. But this passage connects. It's a prelude. We often jump straight into verses 15 and 17. Do not love the world, but it has to flow out of a fresh understanding of these verses regarding the reminder of who are they in Christ, their identity, their purpose, their meaning. And so we will, with that understanding, then jump to verses 15 to 17 in the next couple of weeks. I pray that this was helpful, and I pray that you will once again be reminded of who you are because of Jesus. No matter whether you are studying, working, retired, doing X, Y, and Z in your life, that your purpose to love God, to serve him, to delight in him, you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the works he's called you to do until the day of our last breath. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we confess that at times we struggle with our purpose, especially when circumstances are very difficult and painful. But we thank you that it's not based on our productivity or our accomplishments, our influence, our wealth, our socioeconomic status, our education, our families. But thank you because of Jesus, we are first and foremost a blood-bought son and daughter of the Most High God. I pray that as we are reminded of our identity, I pray that we would realign once again our hearts back to the purpose for which you have called us and saved us and are working in our lives and through our lives. And so, Father, thank you for this glorious declaration of who we are and what we have been called to do. Thank you for this reminder in very challenging times where the culture all around us wants to give us their understanding of identity, meaning, and purpose. Thank you that we have already found it in Jesus. And so work out your plan and purposes for our lives and our loved ones. We're so grateful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.